Chapter 9, Creation and Destruction. We had been in London for several months when we received an invitation from an old friend in Scotland to visit his country. I had learnt all I could from the scientist in London, so I decided to accept my friend's invitation. Clerval and I spent 3 months travelling through England until we finally arrived in Scotland. I had neglected my work for some time now, and I was worried that the monster might be angry and take revenge on my family. This stopped me enjoying the beautiful scenery of Scotland and the hospitality of my friend. I finally told Clerval that I wished to continue the journey on my own. I told him that I would meet him in a month or two, and that I hoped that I would be in a happier mood when I returned. Henry tried to change my mind, but he saw that I had made my decision. I wanted to find a remote part of Scotland and finish my work in solitude. I found a lonely spot on one of the Orkney Islands and settled in an empty hut with 2 rooms. I made one of the rooms into a place to live and the other into a laboratory. I worked during the day, and in the evenings I walked by the sea and thought of Switzerland. Living all alone like this, I became nervous and restless. Every moment, I was afraid of meeting the monster. But I continued, and soon my work was quite advanced. I looked forward to finishing it with a mixture of hope and the strange feeling that something evil was going to happen. One evening, after dark, I stopped working as there was not enough light. I sat in my laboratory thinking, what if the woman I created was even more evil than the monster? What if she refused to live alone with the monster? What if she decided to leave her ugly partner and look for a more attractive man? What if they had children? For the first time, I realized my promise was dangerous and stupid. Suddenly, in the moonlight, I saw the monster at the window. He had come to see my progress and to claim his partner. I looked at his horrible face and understood it was madness to create another creature like him. Trembling with anger, I tore my work to pieces and promised myself that I would never resume it. The monster cried aloud in despair. Then, he burst into the room to confront me. "Why are you destroying your work?" he shouted. "That woman was for me. I have suffered exhaustion, cold and hunger to come here and see her. You are breaking your promise to me. Remember that I have the power to make your life completely miserable now." "Yes, I am breaking my promise because it was stupid," I shouted. "I'll never create another evil creature like you. You don't frighten me. Get out!" The monster saw the determination in my face, and his face filled with anger. "Every man has someone to love, except me," he cried. "Why should you be happy with your love while I am alone and miserable? I will have my revenge. I'm leaving now. But remember this, I will be with you on your wedding night." I moved forward and tried to stop him, but he escaped and ran from the house. A few moments later, I saw him get into his boat and start to sail across the water. Then he disappeared from sight. It was silent in the room, but his words sounded in my head. I would die on my wedding night. I was not afraid, but when I thought of Elizabeth and how sad she would be, my eyes filled with tears, and I cried for the first time in months. The next day, a fishing boat arrived and brought me a package. It contained a letter from Clerval. "My dear friend Victor, I intend to return to London soon. Please join me here before I leave Scotland. Your friend, Henry." I decided that I would leave the island. My experiment was finished, and it was time to return. But before I left, I had to pack up my laboratory equipment and dispose of the female monster. That thought made me tremble. But early the next morning, I found the courage to enter the room and collect everything. The remains of the half-finished female creature lay on the floor. I could not leave them there for the islanders to find, so I put them into a basket, filled it with heavy stones, and decided to drop it into the sea later that night. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, I took the basket, got into my little boat, and sailed out to sea. As soon as a cloud covered the moon and everything was dark, I threw the basket and its contents into the water. I heard it fall, and then I sailed away. The noise of the waves sent me to sleep, and when I woke up it was morning. A strong wind had blown my boat off course, and I had no idea where I was. I was frightened at the thought that the wind might have blown the boat into the Atlantic Ocean. I sailed on until I finally saw land ahead of me. Safety. I landed, and I was tying up the boat when I realized that there were people nearby, and they were watching me. They did not offer to help me, but they whispered to each other in a strange way. I realized that they were speaking English and said, "My good friends, what is this place? Where am I?" "You will know that soon enough," one of the men replied. "You might not like this place very much," said another. "We don't like criminals in Ireland." I was very surprised to hear that my boat had reached Ireland and confused that they thought I was a criminal. Why would they think that? I was about to walk away from the angry crowd when an unpleasant-looking man turned to me. "Come with me, sir, to Mr. Kerwin, the magistrate," he said. "Then you can explain the death of the gentleman who was found here last night." This startled me, but I knew I was innocent of any crime and could prove it quite easily. Although I was exhausted and hungry, I followed the man to Mr. Kerwin.